The Gospel reading according to Luke, chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with that fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Let us humble ourselves before God and pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this new day you have given us and good health. And we thank you for our spirits and our souls that you have called us again to listen to your word and for our prayers before you. Be with us, Lord, and open our hearts and our minds to take your word and cherish it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, together we are so thankful to God for this good day, for this Sunday, and for your love, and for your great concern to the needs of others around, including us. And thank you for welcoming us, and we are enjoying the life, and the days are passing so quickly. And we would like to appeal for some days more to stay with you. Thank you very much, Pastor Andrew and Molly, for welcoming me, and thank you for all the congregants for your love. We have read this passage from Luke chapter 16, and in this passage we see Jesus Christ teaching about stewardship, about the kingdom of God and the dangers of love of money to the Pharisees and to his disciples. The teachings that Jesus offers focus about the final consequences of our earthly choices. This passage shows that those who are lowly will be lifted and those who are filled with riches will be sent away empty, especially those who ignore the needs of the poor. The passage also describes two people, two characters, one rich man who is not named and the poor man who is named Lazarus. The scripture tells us that this poor man was brought to his gate. We don't know exactly the relatives of the people around who knew that there is food, there is needs, that he can be supplied from the rich man's house. So they will bring this poor man at the gate. But then we see he was not properly served with what he needed. So he longed to be fed by what would fall from the table of the rich man. Lazarus had also another problem. He had sores that we see the dogs were licking him. So he needed medical attention. But according to the scripture, according to this parable, he was not given a good care. Then it came to pass that they both died. And after this death, we see Lazarus was carried by the angels to Abraham's side, or to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died and was buried. I was thinking about what does it mean that both of them died, but one was carried by angels and one was buried. It does mean that Lazarus was not buried. He was buried also. But this would explain that the history, the living of what they did differs. If we live out our faith and we die, we may continue living according to what we did and live to the community. I remember in the Bible the story of Dorcas, who died and was doing a good job, and people were crying, showing the works of her hand. And this person was restored into life. And one day my superintendent, the district pastor, was asking us, if you are just living, you are just coming to earth and live and then you go, even if people would like to cry to God for you to be raised from the dead, what would they show that this person did this and then you will come back? Or would people just want you to come back again? Brothers and sisters in Christ, how do you think the community carried their burial services? It shows that we have big celebrations for important people, for popular people, during the burial services. And there are simple burial services for the people who were like Lazarus. And we see when people die, some would spend a week, some would spend 5 days, 4 days before burial, because they have to go into various places for the last respects from the people they ever served. But then the other one would just remain there until the burial. And I was telling the others in the first service that back home people were joking and say, if you are very popular in this world and you die, you will behave like a day scholar, like someone who goes to school in the morning and come back in the evening to the funeral home. So they take this person to the funeral home. The next day, he's taken to the certain auditorium, back to the house. Then the next day, to another place for 5 or 4 days, and then you are going to be buried. But for those who are just there, they die. They stay in the funeral home until the day of burial, then they go. So it's like a boarding kid there. Then you go for the vacation or for the holiday at home. The way we are buried, the way people celebrate our burial services, does not really describe our life after death. It might be the way we lived with people, the way they knew us, but our souls and our hearts, what filled them. I was reading a certain book that I didn't share in the service at the morning. This book had a topic written, "Who will cry when you die? Who will cry when you die?" And in the normal sense, when we are born, we cry. If there is no problem, there's no health problem, every child will die, will cry. And then the rest will celebrate, oh, new baby born, yeah, they will celebrate, yeah, boy, and so forth. But the child cries. When we die, it's the opposite. Those who celebrated when we are born, they cry. And the question is, for us who are gone, are we crying also with them? Or are we celebrating with them? Like what happened with the rich man. The rich man died. The relatives must have cried, but he also cried. This is what the person wrote, "Who will cry when you die?" So it might happen that I die, the people cry, and I cry. but they may cry and opposite I celebrate to join other saints in the new world, the new heavens. Brothers and sisters, we see the rich man is asking help from Abraham to send Lazarus to cool his tongue because he was suffering. And the second thing, when it was impossible, he asked that Lazarus will be sent to his father's house, for he had five brothers, and now he's showing the concern to his family, to his father's home. But he is told that there is no change. We can't cross each other. We are separated, which means our lives, when we are on earth, we have to take heed of the word of God. So when we die, that will be end of our lives, and then we begin a new life. Judgment is there. But Jesus Christ gave this parable showing the time after our death, when Jesus comes to take his church. Not that everyone, when we die, we are judged. Otherwise, others will suffer for many years before others are taken there. So the rich man, from the outward, we see the same attitude of looking down to this poor man and say, send him here or send him to my father's home. He is still feeling entitled to send Lazarus somewhere. He could have asked Abraham to come. Father Abraham, come, help me. But he says, send that man to me. But this time he was a very different person. However, it is made clear that it is better to listen to those who are here. If it was today, we'd say, listen to your priests, listen to your pastors, listen to your teachers. If we send someone from the dead, you'll not be convinced if our hearts are not changed, if our hearts and our minds are not opened to the word of God. How should someone blame me or blame you for using what you have worked for, what you have labored for? If the rich man would be asked to defend himself, he would say, I have worked for my properties, for my riches. Why would you blame me for not feeding others? Why couldn't he work hard to be like me? We are who we are by the grace of God. God has given us different gifts and talents in the way to work, and he has placed others by our sides, by our neighborhood, so that we may also help them. We are the channels of God's blessings to others. When God blesses us with riches, with wisdom, with knowledge, with skills, we are the channel to transform this to others. That's why he created us to live as the community. Psalms 24 reminds us the world and everything in it belongs to God. And therefore, God calls us through Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, to honor the Lord with our possessions. To honor the Lord with our possessions is to have a proper use of our possessions. What we possess might be knowledge, as I said. What we possess might be what's around us, food, but also the love, the concern to others. Someone somewhere is waiting for you to tell them that they are good, they are lovely, they can make it. They think from the inside that I cannot make it, I cannot do it, but then somewhere they need your word. They have everything they need, but they need your word of encouragement, the word of love. What happens to your heart when you wake up in the morning and outside the road you find someone telling you that you look good? Yeah? How do you feel? You look good, beautiful. They come to your home and say, beautiful home. How do you feel? You feel nice. So there are people around us who need us. We can have plenty of lessons from this passage we have just read. But one to be remembered is that wealth is temporary, eternity is permanent. So let us invest in our eternal relationship with God. My father used to tell me that every day we have an exercise of dying. we have an exercise of leaving the earth. And he told me that when it is time to sleep, you don't go with your car on bed. You don't take your suitcase with you and sleep around holding them and the books and everything. He said, you just went go there by yourself. And so you wake up and say, oh, thank you, God. It's a new day. Then you rush to your properties and then continue. And so what follows after this life is permanent. Secondly, we are reminded to show compassion, generosity, and love to those in need around us. This community is doing exactly what the scripture is saying. I don't know for each individual, but you are concerned about the needs of others. And may the Lord God strengthen you to continue doing the same. Third, we are reminded that we will be accountable. We are accountable and we remain accountable before God regarding our stewardship. The Christian stewardship is the proper use of our possessions, our time, and our talents, the gifts that God has given us. How do we use it? We use it for the glory of God. So when we go before God, we'll have the fruits, bear the fruits that will last. The outward appearance and social status does not describe everything we have in the inside. We were just creating pictures to the people and say, look at this picture, look at this portrait. What would you say about this person? Some would say, this person from the outside seemed to be lazy and seemed to be angry. But then we say, what is inside? Maybe there are good talents and gifts that would transform to people. So it doesn't tell everything when we look at the outside. And finally, what makes us valuable is the image and likeness that we are created. We are created in the image of God. This is very important for everyone to remember. Whoever comes before us is that image of God. Whether they are well, whether they are sick, whether they're struggling with anything, a challenge in life, we are still in the image of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God reminds us every time, and through the prophets, he reminded us that what does God want from us is to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. May the Lord God open our minds and our hearts to see the needs of the people around us so that we may continue to serve them. But may God bless our love that we have opened our minds to see the needs of others and we have opened our hands to reach the needs of others. Amen.